live and local,
across the city
and South Cambridgeshire.
This is Alex Elbrook.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
During all three lockdowns, many of us have found that their pets have helped them in lots of ways. Many of us are thinking about getting a new pet. I spoke to the 105 vet, Mifanui, earlier, and we discussed all the things that we needed to think about when considering choosing a pet. I started by asking her what we should be thinking about before we even start to choose a pet.
I think lots of people are probably aware that there's been a huge boom in the pet industry. Lots of people have been adopting new pets, mostly puppies, but also cats, rabbits, guinea pigs. And unfortunately, you know, this boom started probably around the same time as lockdown last year did. And as vets, we're already seeing the consequences of people adopting pets that they maybe haven't thought through quite fully. And lots of the puppies that were adopted during the first lockdown have already been put up for rehoming. So that's obviously a really worrying fact. And I think it's really important that when we're thinking about getting a new pet member of our family, we think really carefully, not just about the type of pet that we want, but also where we're getting them from. So I think the first thing to actually think about is whether or not you've really got enough time to have an animal in your household. And even animals that are thought of as being quite low maintenance, like cats, for example, or rabbits or guinea pigs, you know, they do still take quite a lot of time. A cat, we need to be cleaning their litter tray out every day if they're having a litter tray in the house. We need to be playing with them. Obviously, we need to be providing them with food every day. The same with rabbits and guinea pigs. It's also really important to think about who is going to clean out a rabbit or a guinea pig's hutch every couple of days. Who is going to go and do that feeding? And if we're thinking that we're going to be leaving that responsibility to maybe some children, it's important to remember that they might get bored with it, that it might end up being an adult's responsibility in the long term. And it's not acceptable to let the animal suffer because, you know, the kids have got bored or something like that. So it's really important to think very carefully about whether or not we've actually got the amount of time to give. And I think a rough rule of thumb is, have you got an hour in your day to devote to your pet? And if you don't have an hour in your day to devote to your pet, you probably don't have enough time, because although a pet might not take an hour every day, if they get sick or if they're injured, then they might need more than an hour of your day in terms of care and being looked after and things like that. So making sure that you've got enough time and that members of your family have all got enough time to interact safely and happily with your pet, I think is really, really helpful.
Would that be more time for a dog? Because I think they take a bit more time, don't they?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think if you've got especially like a really athletic, energetic dog that's going to need walking a couple of times a day, then you're going to be looking at even more. But, you know, a smaller dog, maybe a small breed like a Jack Russell or a Chihuahua, might not take that okay. much time. So, yeah, a rule of thumb is probably an hour a day, but more for a more energetic, enthusiastic dog, for example. I think once you've decided that you've got the time, we then need to think about what kind of animal you want. And people probably think about, you know, a dog is going to be great for getting me out and walking in the countryside and the environment. And that's fantastic. But there are also lots of other pets that can be really fulfilling. So house rabbits have become very popular in recent years. Rabbits can be litter trained. They can be quite destructive in houses. They can chew your furniture and your wires, but they can also be really rewarding pets. But it's important when we have a pet like a rabbit to remember that they actually need to be in company. So you can't get one rabbit, you have to get at least two rabbits. And then you obviously need to think about getting either matched genders or having them neutered. Otherwise, you'll have more than two rabbits.
Very quickly.
So it's one of those things that's really important to bear in mind. Do you have enough space for them? You know, the idea that you can just put a rabbit in a hutch and let it out for a little run around, it is quite old fashioned nowadays. And we recognize that actually rabbits will in the wild hop, you know, kilometers in a foraging expedition overnight. And they really need to be having lots of exercise and lots of access to the outdoors and things, and similar for guinea pigs. Cats are obviously a great, slightly lower maintenance pet. They're pretty self-sufficient. They obviously will usually exercise themselves outdoors. but lots of people keep cats inside as well in flats with no gardens. And if you're going to do that, you need to, again, provide them with lots of stimulation, lots of time to play and things. I've actually recently taught my 10-year-old cat to walk on a lead, and we now go for little walks around the garden.
That's exciting.
So that's been a bit of an achievement. But it's really important to remember that exactly like us, they need stimulation, they need exercise. So although a dog might seem the obvious choice for lots of families, there are plenty of other pets of different sizes, and also thinking about allergies as well. So lots of people are allergic to maybe dogs or cats. A rabbit or a guinea pig might be a really excellent alternative. Once you've decided the type of pet that you want, I think then you need to think really carefully about where you're going to get your pet from. And I think this is the bit that lots of people overlook. They decide that they want to get a Labrador puppy, for example, and then they just start Googling Labrador puppy and they go and look at all the puppies that they see. But it's really, really important that you consider really carefully where you're getting your puppy from. And one of the reasons for this is, and it might seem a little bit alarmist, but actually the trade in illegally smuggled puppies is really directly linked to organized crime, and large, high value criminal networks are smuggling puppies in and getting involved in awful things like puppy farming. And it's so easy for members of the general public to accidentally play into that by buying puppies off websites, via Facebook, via Gumtree, things like this. So a classic advert would be, my dog had this unexpected litter, the puppies are really gorgeous, would you like to buy them for X number of £1,000? And often these are not accidental litters, these are puppy farmed dogs or illegally imported dogs. So it's really important that you look for breeders who are registered with the local council. If you're looking for a pedigree animal, that you go for a kennel club registered dog. You go to registered rescue centres that have got physical premises rather than are being operated out of the back of someone's home. And again, that they're registered with the council. And if they're not, then the chances are that they are not necessarily a reputable breeder or reputable rescue centre. Now, obviously, sometimes people do have puppies just from their pet. But if that is the case, then you should go and view those puppies before you buy them. And you should never buy on the first viewing, and you shouldn't be committing large amounts of money. And the same goes for cats as well. They're often sold in relatively similar situations. Something else to bear in mind is health testing. So lots of breeds have certain genetic problems associated with them. And you should always ask the breeder or the owner or the rescue center whether or not the parents have had any health testing to help ensure that the puppies are as healthy as possible. Another thing to bear in mind is conformation. So if you're looking for, say, a Dachshund or a French Bulldog, both really, really popular breeds at the moment. So Dachshunds are quite prone to having problems with their backs. Are you prepared to spend lots of money in the future having major back surgery on them? And short-faced animals like French Bulldogs also have huge amounts of health problems associated with that conformation, that short face. And as vets, it's very sad for us to see these animals suffering just because of the kind of fashion that they've been bred into. So it's really important to think about going for a healthy animal and an animal that's suitable to your home environment.
So what should you be thinking about if you're thinking about breeds, apart from just they look pretty or they're fashionable? Is there a way to find out which would be the best sort of dog for me, for instance?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the first thing is to move beyond just thinking about breeds, because although lots of people have particular affinities with one breed or another, often it's actually just because they've had a really good experience with a dog of that breed. And there are lots of other perfectly suitable dogs out there of a similar size or similar temperament. I think the best way to find out what kind of dog you would get on with is to go to some of the big rescue centres and meet some dogs. Don't discount rescues because think they might have problems. A lot of them don't. Dogs at rescue centres have just been rehomed as puppies because the family weren't suitable, not because the dog wasn't suitable. So go and meet some dogs, particularly at rescue centres, and get a feel for the size of dog that you like, the sort of personality and temperament. Some people will want a really outgoing dog. Some people will want a quieter dog. These sorts of characteristics aren't necessarily determined by the breed. And I think ultimately we shouldn't be drawn by fashion. They're not accessories, they're members of our family. And things like the fashionable breeds, but also things like ear cropping, which is illegal but unfortunately becoming very fashionable, tail docking, etc. Again, illegal unless you've got an exemption. These are fashion things that we do to our pets that it's really important people aren't persuaded by celebrities and people on social media that they should go and acquire a dog that looks a certain way, because these aren't handbags and they're going to be with you for many years and hopefully a fantastic loving member of your family.
Thank you very much. That's really good advice. And in fact, I think if you talk to the rescue centre or maybe even to your vets, they would be able to discuss, oh, we've got this dog in and he or she is like this, that and the other. I've seen on TV the programmes where they get the people's requirements and then they match them to a dog they wouldn't have necessarily considered, but they've been a perfect match.
Yeah, absolutely. And even if you don't end up going with that rescue centre in the end, having that experience of going through, meeting lots of other dogs, having the whole family meet them can be really helpful in guiding you. You know, you don't even have to get a puppy. Adopting an adult dog can also be really rewarding. Puppies don't stay puppies forever. And
there are lots of work, aren't they?
And they are a lot of work. I mean, if you're adopting a puppy, you're talking about multiple hours a day of care. It's like having a baby. So adopting an adult dog can be a fantastic way to get a dog, particularly if you've never had a dog before. So first time pet parents, going for an adult animal rather than going from puppy or kitten can be a much easier route into pet ownership. Far fewer problems, far less to worry about, and a slightly more robust animal.
Thank you very much for that, my family. Great advice as always.
You're very welcome. Cambridge 105 Radio.